Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. We are a Bible-believing ministry that's teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sinful world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. We are so excited, and we are delighted that the Lord has granted us one more day in the land of the living. We are here to declare and decree that Jesus is Lord and that there's no one else but him, that he sits high and see low. It doesn't matter what Satan is saying, what Satan is doing, what the world is saying, what the world is doing. Jesus is still Lord. He is still commander and chief. He is still the ruler. He is still the great I am. He is still the lily of the valley. He is still the early morning star. He is still the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is Alpha and Omega. Yes, he is the one that keeping all things together. Hallelujah. He is the one that created all things, and all things was created for his glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we come this morning. We're going to be teaching and preaching on part two of the message from yesterday. Satan, the master of deception, part two. That's what we're going to be teaching, but we're going to play a little music before. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and praise you for this day. We ask you, oh God, to touch our lips, touch our eyes, and touch our ears of clay that we might see and hear. Father, we ask for your mercy upon us this morning. Rest your mercy and your grace, oh God. We ask for forgiveness of this here nation. Forgive the vice president. Forgive the president, the Congress, the senators. Forgive the Supreme Court Justice Department. Forgive, oh God, husband and wives for making errors, mistakes, oh God. We ask you, Father God, to through us, oh God. We ask you to heal our land, oh God. Heal the hearts and minds of the people, oh God. We ask, Father God, that you remove this murderous satanic spirit out of the earth realm, oh God. Only you can do it, God. Oh, Father, I thank you right now. I thank you for, oh God, for revelation of knowledge, oh God. Oh, Father, everything is coming to light, oh God. For you says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the last days before you return, oh God. Men shall become lovers of themselves. Father, we just pray this morning, oh God, that Jesus, that you will show up in this service today. As we decrease, we ask you to increase today, Lord. We ask you to keep those, oh God, that are crying out to you, oh God, that is calling out to you, oh God, for safety, oh God, for you are the strong tower that we run into and find safety. Lord, allow them to, oh God, to receive from you today. Allow them to receive from you today. Yes, Lord, because you are God, and we worship you and worship you alone. Jesus, we pray. Amen.
As we worship Oh, I'm out of words. I'm out of words. I'm out of words. Yeah. do.
Wow.
Yes, you do.
You alone deserve my praise.
Come on.
You alone deserve all the honor.
Come on.
So we lift you. Yahweh, Yahweh. So we lift your high. We love you.
Father, we lift you high. You are Yahweh, the God of all creation. And we lift you high this morning. As always, we come to praise you. We come to magnify your name. We come to exalt you. We come to tell you that we love you and that we worship. We bow down our hearts before you. This morning we ask your forgiveness. We ask your mercy. We ask your grace. Not only on us individually, but on us collectively. And on our nation, O God, and the nations of this earth. We pray, Father God, today for Justin Bieber. The young man proclaimed that he received Jesus as Lord. And only the Lord Jesus knows. But he says that with his mouth. But we discover that he has paralysis in his face, which is like a stroke, or is a stroke. His face is twisted. And he is asking why would the Lord allow him to have a stroke in his face. His face is twisted. And today we pray, Father God, that you would touch this young man. And that you would heal him. Lord, that you would allow him to see, even in this time that he is, his face, his mouth, and his jaw is twisted, that he would see your glory. Lord, that he would see the manifestation of your power as you bring his face back to normal. Father, we pray for Beyonce. Lord, she is off the deep end. She and her husband, Jay-Z, they have more money than they can spend, and they think that that's it. Because Satan, the devil, Diablo, is constantly blessing them. And they live to serve him. And most people that you tell that she's a Satan worshiper, especially all people that would say no, but she is a Satan worshiper. But Father, you said that it's your desire that none will perish. And we pray for her, pray for her husband this morning, God. And we ask you to arrest her and her husband in the spirit. Arrest them, Lord, that they will not be able to lead no one as anyone else astray by the power that's on their lives. Draw them to you and cause them to submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray this morning that as this word go forth, that it will go forth with power and authority. Lord, I decrease that you might increase. And Father, if I speak a word that did not come from you by the Spirit or through these 66 books, cause my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth. And never let me speak another word. My only objective, Father, is to glorify your name, edify your body, and terrify the devil. In Jesus' name we pray. We're talking about, yesterday we did part one, and today we're doing part two of Satan, the master of deceptions. Satan, the master of deception. And we want to go in Revelation chapter 20. We're going to start over there. I have the King James Bible up, and we are pull up the Logos also. We have, like to go between these two Bibles and the Amplified NLT and see what the Lord is saying. The Lord Jesus is speaking to us in a in a great way, drawing us closer to hear what he is, he's saying to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. We want more, and if we want more, we have to give more. We have to give more. Make more sacrifices to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I hear people say, well, I want to know more of the Bible. But guess what? They don't want to study more. They believe that God Almighty is going to come down from heaven and he's just going to pour it in their heart. No, he says you have to study. That's what he said. You got to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to go into the word. Prophetess sent me a post this morning from YouTube about Beyonce. And I understand. The moment I saw the post, I went straight into the, my spirit man went straight into Revelation, the book of Revelation. But I said, and I told her, I said, well, you know, many are not going to understand what the post is saying. They're not. I posted to other people that I believe would understand. But I said, many will not understand what it's saying. They would just think that it's just Beyonce on a red horse. They don't understand that that's Bible. She got a peacock, picture of a peacock on her head. They don't understand that's Bible. All that's Bible. All that's the Bible revealing itself in plain sight before the people on the in the shows where she's doing these shows, you know, and she comes in on a horse, she comes on this, she comes in this type of outfit, this kind of robe, this type of headgear she's wearing, and people don't understand all that is speaking, and a lot of people take that for granted. But if you look clearly and you open your Bible, you will see that God is speaking through all these things, but the people have become so ignorant that they don't open their Bible. They don't open their Bible. They see something, oh, the politicians are doing this or the politicians are doing that, but they don't look at the Bible and see this is Bible unfolding. It's Bible unfolding. I was looking up some stuff this morning. I didn't know there were so many names. You know, when you go into the, I'm going to get the one in dictionary, though, Bible dictionary, because I got to get the one. I got several dictionaries, but I got to get a Bible dictionary. I'm going to tell you something. I got a large concordance. It's almost like a dictionary, but I got to get a Bible dictionary. Because I didn't know the devil had so many names. As long as I've been studying this Bible, I didn't know he had so many names. So many names. This old Slewfoot has so many names. And he said, when you start from Genesis all the way to Revelation, he got names all through the books. They call them different names. But here in this book, we're talking about part two. And the Lord took me over to Revelation. We was in Genesis yesterday. We got to go back to Genesis, or another part of Genesis, I think chapter 12. But let's go into Revelation chapter 20. And we're talking about part two. Satan, the master of this. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Satan, the master of deception. The master of deception. In other words, he got a degree. He got a degree in how to deceive the world. Hallelujah. He got a master degree. He know how to. He is very subtle. He's very cunning. He is very deceptive. Hallelujah. That's his characteristics. Got to understand that's who he is. Satan tell you you can't, when you know you can do. You can do it. Jesus says you can. He says God won. We know God does all things. Nobody cares about you. We know that God cares about us. Why? Because the Bible said, for God so loved the world. So we know God cares. He said, it don't matter. It don't matter. And this is why people are committing suicide, because they hear this voice in the speaking to them, it doesn't matter. You can't do it. You will never be anything. And we got some parents that use that spirit, that satanic spirit, tell the kids, you'll never be anything. You're just like your daddy. You're just like your mama. Then one of the things he used on us, it's too late. It's not going to happen for you. It's never too late. Jesus said you can do all things through Christ. That's what Paul says. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Here in the book of Revelation chapter 20, John saw an angel descending from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he sees the dragon, that's one of the names for Satan, the ancient serpent, that's another name, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the abyss or the bottomless pit and shut it and sealed it above him in order that he could not deceive the nations again until 1,000 years are completed. After these things, it is necessary for him to be released for a short season, a little season, or a short time. I've got to understand, emissaries gone, and the arrival of the kingdom of God at hand. The dragon is chained in order to ensure a period of peace. Those who refuse to worship the beast or his image are resurrected and made vigorous with Christ. No. I understand that Satan's main objective is to hinder us or stop us from serving God. Satan doesn't matter how much, he doesn't care how much of this or that that you accomplish here in the earth realm. As a matter of fact, he'll give it to you as long as you don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. His job is to hinder you from reading, from studying the word, from praying, from fasting, hallelujah, from making sacrifices to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His main objective is to hinder us from being obedient to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's his main objective. He knows that if we obey God, if we follow the instructions that I said yesterday, if we follow the instruction of the Most High God, that he is not going to have any leverage on us. Do you hear what I'm saying? He is not going to be able to deceive us or distract us or even destroy us. The Bible said the thief come not but to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus come that we would have life and have it more abundantly. See, the important thing, he knows that if we follow, if we honor God, if we obey God, that we're going to experience the abundant life right here on earth. He knows we're going to experience it. Hallelujah. And then we'll get a greater abundant life when we got to meet with Jesus. Hallelujah, when we are resurrected. Hallelujah, glory to God. Satan is a deceiver. Satan's character is deceitful, devious, and cunning, and in a variety of guises. He seeks to influence people for his end, for his own ends. In other words, Satan is only blessing people, enticing them to not follow God and follow him because he wants them to be with him. We're in the lake of fire and brimstone. Satan don't want to be in the lake of fire and brimstone with he and his agents alone. He wants to steal some of God's people. He's a deceiver. Lucifer was a created angel of great beauty and power who rebelled against God and was cast down to earth a long time ago. That was his first error. He sinned in heaven. Bishop said that was his first error in heaven when he sinned against God. He rebelled against God. God had to kick him out. Then he didn't leave. He didn't leave voluntarily. There was a fight that took place. There was war going on in heaven. Our angel Gabriel and Michael and Raphael, they fought against Satan and his agents. And they overcame him and kicked him out. He came down here with great power. Then came down here as a weak foe. He came down here with great power.
to deceive the people of God, those that would even hear the word of God and gravitate to the presence of Jesus Christ, want to get closer to Jesus. He come to deceive us. John 8:44 calls him a liar, the father of lies. See, sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, Satan will take what God has for us and he would turn it around and make it look, find some fault about it to discourage us and tell us, why are you trying to be this? Why are you trying to be that? You know you can't do that. But if God said you can, you can. That's why we say, God said it, I believe it, and that says it. I don't need to go through no whole rick of Romans. God said it, I believe it, that says it. He said in John 8:44, he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer. See, when you lie, Apostle said that yesterday, when you lying, it's like you committing murder. Hallelujah. When you committing murder against someone's spirit, someone's soul, against your own soul, not only someone else, but against your own soul when you lie. That's why it's in the Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. He's a liar and the father of it. People will believe you. They believe you much easier when you tell a lie. And then some of them come and say, well, I just want to tell a little white lie, half truth. They still tell a lie. They don't tell you the whole truth. Here in the book of Revelations, I'm running all over the place. The Holy Spirit pushing me in, pushing me there. I got to go over again. Satan is in bondage. He's wrapped up for a little while. And the King James Version says for a little season. He said, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had they received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. I want you to know that a lot of people want to say they want to serve Jesus Christ, but they don't want to face any type of persecution. If somebody says something, they go right back into the old self. The old self is supposed to be buried. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We all got to walk in the newness of the spirit and not in the deadness of the flesh. But we don't want to, most of us don't want to be face no persecution at all. The Bible talks about these saints that was beheaded for the being a witness of Christ Jesus. Somebody call you a name, somebody scratch your car, you want to do somebody something. They did all type of stuff to my Cadillac. Tore it up. Put gang signs, scratching gang signs on it. When I called the police, the police said, were you ever in a gang? I said, no, I was never in a gang, sir. You know, I live a righteous life, but I was never in the gang. Because why? I was walking, trying my best to walk this walk. And here comes the devil, the old deceiver, and had him scratch up the car. We had to get another one. No. What's this? Glory to God. You have to go through some tribulations. You have to go through some trials. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. See, we don't preach this stuff either. You people say, well, I know I got one life to live. When I'm dead, I'm dead. That's it. No, that's not it. That's not it. You think that once you're dead, you're dead. Listen. He said that's the first resurrection. That means it's the second. And the Bible talks about the second resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but there shall be priests of God and of Christ I shall reign with him 1,000 years. See, we all want to live. Listen. We all want to live a lifestyle that would allow us to be in the first resurrection. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is where we want to be, in the first resurrection. And if we examine our own hearts, don't look at mine. Don't try to figure how I'm living. Figure your own self. Don't point your finger at nobody. I'm not pointing my finger at nobody. I'm pointing my finger at me. Because why? I want to be right here in this verse. I want to be in the first resurrection. Listen, he said, why? In the first resurrection, the second death will have no power. No power over you. And we will reign with him 1,000 years. Glory to God. He said, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loose out of his prison. That old slewfoot still going to get a second chance. Still going to get a second chance to torment people more. And I shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. In Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 2 tells you about this. Now let me tell you something. You really want to be in the first resurrection. Because this war that's going to take place after the Satan comes up out of his tomb, out of his bottomless pit, it's like a tomb. It's going to be like a war that the world have never seen. The same of people that's going to come together to follow this beast, this Satan, this dragon, this devil, is going to be like the sand on the seashores. Millions upon millions of people are going to follow him. And where they think you're falling? When they follow the devil, they're going to end up in the lake of fire and brimstone. That's why we want to be in the first resurrection. So there's a lot of evaluation that needs to take place. We have to check out our stance with the Lord. Am I standing secure? The Bible said that there are 33 names for Satan located in the book of Revelation, Ezekiel and Daniel, 33 different names for that old devil. You'll find them in the book of Revelation, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Daniel. This devil is a deceiver. And this is all he sets out to do. He wants to deceive you. He wants to tell you that all that God says that you can do, you can. All that God said that you would accomplish, you can't accomplish. All where he said you can go, you say you Satan tell you you can't go. It's not possible. That's why we have to speak what God say. He said you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He said you are more than a conqueror through Christ. We got to say, he said you are washed in the blood. He said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You got to say these things. I am love. I don't care what the world is saying. I don't care what Satan and his agents are saying, what they're doing. They say, I don't have the big bank account like them, but I say, I have more than enough. I have more than enough. I'm not lacking anything because God says so. Hallelujah. Listen, let's get back into this. Let's get down to this here. The Bible says, after in this war, they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints in saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them the way into the holy city. Satan is going to take all of these nations into the holy city because he believes that he can destroy what God has created, what God is doing. Why do you think he's coming after us so much? Why do you think that the governmental officers are coming against Christianity? Why do you think they're coming against and want to change everything that God says? They're being instructed by Satan. The war has already begun. You may not see it, but it's already begun. And God is calling for us to stand flat-footed. Soon as something happens, we want to run. I'm not interested in doing that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not going down to the church anymore. I'm not going to the church building anymore. I don't want to go and pray no more. I'm not interested in fasting or praying. I'm not interested in going on the line. I'm not interested in all this stuff because that's Satan. That's instructions from the devil. That's not from the Lord. The Lord wants us to stand flat-footed as saints of the Most High God. And he wants us to proclaim Jesus. Proclaim the blood that we are covered in the blood. The blood is on the doorpost of our hearts. We got to proclaim this. And no matter what Satan and his agents are saying, they can't touch us. He can put thoughts in our minds, but he can't touch us. It's up to us if we want to activate the thoughts or we want to cast down those thoughts and those imaginations. It's up to us. Listen. The devil, listen. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I want you to know that these folk that running up and saying that they have power, because the only thing they want to do is get money. The only thing they want to do is get materialistic things. And the Bible talks about this Satan causing his prophets, his false prophets, to perform signs and wonders. And this is why you got to look and you got to hear. Don't just listen, but you got to hear what these false prophets are saying. Is it really lining up with what God is saying? Then if it's not lining up with what God is saying, you have to cast them down. Hallelujah. You got to depart from them. Separate yourself from them. People are falling because every time they hear a prophet come to town, they want to go. They don't know if he's a real prophet or if she's a real prophet. Let me just go. Because the prophet coming in is coming into town. He is coming in from Nigeria. He's coming in from Ghana. He's coming in from Nairobi. He's coming in from India. He's coming in from China. Prophets coming in from Brazil. Coming in from the Caribbean. Coming in from some part of the United States. We want to go. We haven't prayed. We have a pastor that says, God, should I go to this prophetic service? God knows if it's a true prophet or if it's a false prophet. We don't ask God. But somebody tell you, prophet so-and-so coming to town. You wouldn't sow a seed in your ministry. Your pastor fasting and praying all week long, 40 days, 21 days, 7 days fasting for the service, for the ministries. Fasting to hear from God so he can feed us the way we need to. God wants us to be fed. And we won't sow a seed in the ministry. And soon this false prophet coming, led by Satan. And the Bible tells us this. I read this last night. The Bible said that the false prophet's going to perform signs and wonders. And many will be deceived from the wonders, signs and wonders. The Bible says so in this book of Revelation. They're going to perform signs and wonders. This is why we need to fast and we need to pray before we run down. And I'm going to Las Vegas. I went to Las Vegas, man. I'm my pastor. My pastor took us to Las Vegas. I want to show you. I want you to go and see. And we went with some of the biggest and the boldest that you can see in the United States. And from some coming from China. So we had them all day. India. Coming from all the Caribbean that was there, man, hundreds of pastors and bishops and pastors and all the notified for ministry. And the Lord let me see. He said, look, my pastor said, I'm going, he paid for everything, paid for the flight, just hooked that room, everything. And glory to God. When we get there, we didn't have a room. They stole our room. And I said, don't worry. I said, let's just spray right in the foyer. In the MGM hotel. In the foyer, everybody looking at it. So let's pray right here. They ain't got a room for us. We paid for the room already. My pastor prayed for the room. We pray. And we wouldn't want to sing, but we want to let the devil know that we're going to take control. He's in the foyer of the MGM hotel. They got a big golden light. You take this two at the entrance as you come in. Then when you get in the foyer, there's a big lantern there made out of gold. Look like gold. I don't know if it's real gold, but they look like gold. And the manager called us to the desk. And when we got to this, he said, we got a room we're going to give you. They didn't have no room before. They sell our room. But now they give us the penthouse. The penthouse is for them big guys like Michael Jackson and all them. So, and he said, well, you don't have to pay no extra. I tell you, this thing was plush. but the devil was operating in Las Vegas. I mean, God wanted me to see that. I mean, the women got on stuff. I mean, a little G-string coming through the behind. Their cheeks are out, nothing covering their cheeks. And just a little pad covering the vagina. And a little thing covering their nipples. And they're all over the streets, man, I'm telling you. I can't even believe it, like it was in hell. And we saw some of them big preachers that were preaching, you know. People don't want to talk about preachers, but if you don't talk about them and expose them, guess what's happening? The devil going to have going to rule and reign in the house of the Lord. He said judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. That's why we got to expose him. And the Lord said, I said, Lord, why is he preaching that preacher? One preacher from Washington, D.C. Oh, he was a fantastic preacher. I mean, man know the dictionary. Oh, Lord, sometimes he called in words you can't understand unless you was up there with him. I mean, some words at the, and then when the service, after he finished preaching, he was Archbishop from Washington, D.C. I ain't going to call his name. But when he finished, he was in the foyer, walking through the foyer with the prostitutes, tore up from the floor. I mean, he got drunk. He was tore up. He was the prostitute. God said, this son, this is where I don't want you to be. He said, I'll let you see this. Because my pastor didn't have to pay for me to go. But he said, I'm going to take you to Las Vegas. I want you to go to this great convocation with all these preachers. And Lord, I was so blessed. Because I saw that night that you can get so uppity in ministry that really you're no earthly good. You're so uppity that you think you got it all together, you know it all. You're no earthly good. Because then when you come down from off the puffy, you act worse than the world. And the world sees us acting a fool and says, well, I don't want that stuff. Well, I can do this then. Don't cost me nothing. I can do that without going in there. But here in this text here, we're talking about part two, Satan, the master of deception. Listen. Glory to God. The Bible says, John began to speak this thing because he's seeing it in the spirit realm. John is looking into the spirit realm. And he saw the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne. No, he see the throne of God. John is able now to see the throne of God in the spirit realm. I can imagine his spirit doing some things now. I could just imagine my little minute mind that John's spirit is doing some things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, excuse me, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. The glory of God. Hallelujah. The face of the one that sat on the throne. Hallelujah. It said a glorious sight that even the heavens and the earth fled away. Hallelujah. Remember the Bible said in the book of Jeremiah, no one can see his face and live. No one. He had to put Moses in the cleft and cover him so Moses could only see his back, but he couldn't look upon his face. Hallelujah, glory to God. The heavens and the earth fled away. And there was found no more for them, their place. And no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. See, what we got, that's what I always said, we got to look at ourselves. We got to examine our own selves. No matter how well you preach, no matter how well you teach, or how well you sing, or how well you play the musical instruments in the house of the Lord, you got to examine yourself. Because when we get into behind closed doors and we get in that darkened place, we act different. Most of us act different. Hallelujah, glory to God. I knew of a... I'm not going to call his name, he's dead. But I know of an elder and his wife. When they would come to church, my God, they would act so holy. They would act so holy. And they would just look at you like you were nothing. Because he had all different kinds. He was a car dealer. And he had all different kind of cars. And would act so different. But when they leave, if you follow, you see them. The moment they pull up the car lot, they argue with each other. We got to look at ourselves. We got to stop trying to examine other people and think that we're better than somebody else. Because God sees a little mistake, a little error, and a little mistake is just the same as if somebody make a big mistake. There's no small sin or big sin. Sin is sin, S-I-N. There's three letters, sin, S-I-N. Glory to God. So that's why I look at myself. I examine myself. I look at myself more than anybody else. I talk to myself, and I repent every morning because my mind be going like crazy. My mind don't stay still. I'm just going to tell the truth. Yours may stay still, but mine don't stay still. My mind is always moving, always moving, always moving this place. And sometimes it moves some places that it shouldn't be. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Sometimes my mind goes some places that it shouldn't go. So I got to go to God and ask the Lord, forgive me. My mind, my thoughts was over here, over there, every place. And sometimes it's not good places. That's why Paul says you got to cast out the thoughts and the imaginations. We imagine stuff. Jesus said that if you look upon a woman in lust, you look upon her with lust, you're already committing adultery. You're already sinning. Thank God for somebody that don't have eyes or don't have ears and can't hear the stuff that's going on and can't see the stuff that's going on. You're in a good place. Glory to God. He said, no. Oh, my God. He said it would judge according to the works. Verse 13 says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell deliver up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. See, nothing. You cannot be hidden. Doesn't matter where you go, you cannot be hidden. Hallelujah. When time comes, judgment time comes, when Jesus comes, wherever you are, wherever you are, if you were in the ocean, if you were buried behind the mountains in the valley, you're going to come up. You got to come before the judgment seat. I never seen a prisoner go into the penitentiary or jail without going before the magistrate or the judge. Same in the natural, same in the spiritual. They got to go before the judge. He says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What we got to do? We want to be found. Hallelujah. We want to be found. Way. You want your name to be written down in the Lamb's book of life. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Glory to God. The master.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The
Amen.
We take him for granted. Look, thank you, Brother Deacon. We take Satan for granted. We're playing games with Satan. Satan not playing games. You hear what I tell you? Satan is not playing games. One of my computers acting up, so let me just put this other computer on here so I can pull these other people on, leave the Logos Bible alone. Satan not playing games. Satan is playing for keeps. Satan wants to drag us, you, me, all of us, into hell with him. He don't want to go into the lake of fire and brimstone by himself. In the third of the angels that he brought down with him. You understand? He wants to put some of the people out of God's house. Some of those who want to play Russian roulette with their souls. He wants to draw them into the pit. Never-ending pit with a never-ending bottom. Then he wants them to be in the lake of fire and brimstone because he don't want to be tormented by his terrestrial angels alone day and night.
Amen.
We got to examine ourselves. We got to stop acting like we preaching to the host and not to us. We preaching to ourselves. God has given us this word for every believer to examine their own self. Hallelujah. I'm not better than anybody else. I come out the crack house, I come out the whole house. And I'm thankful that God even found a little something in me that he could say, well, I'm going to use this man. Because I'm not worthy. And I got to check myself before I wreck myself. I got to keep checking myself all the time. I can't go and put myself on a pedestal. You see, Eli, the priest, you see what happened with him? He thought he had it together. And he wouldn't even check his sons. They got killed in the battle, and then what happened? Once he heard the news, he fell back off his pedestal and broke his neck. We got to keep checking ourselves, and we got to check our family members. then if they don't adhere to the word of God and the spirit of God, it's not on us any longer. It's on them. Glory to God. We gotta sound the alarm. Something's going on with this signal. I don't know what it is. We gotta sound the alarm. We're in Isaiah chapter. Let me get this computer up so I can pull in these other people that just came on the line. We gotta examine ourselves. It's very important. You know, a lot of time I talk about praying at going to the altar and falling down. I mean, we can pray any place, but when you're in the house, fall down at the altar. You're the bishop, you're the apostle, you're the evangelist, you're the pastor, you're the teacher. Fall down at the altar. Let people see you falling down. Let them see you falling down. That you don't have it all together. So I don't want to go to the altar because if I go to the altar, my pastor going to think something wrong with me. Pastor's sitting up there looking so elegant in his robe, in her robe. Man, let's go down. Let people see that we're not perfect. Let them see we're not perfect. Start to tell the homosexual how we love them. We're not preaching against them. We're preaching against sin, S-I-N. Let the lesbian know. Let the fornicator know. Let the adulterer know. The dope dealer know. We're not preaching against you, dope sellers. We're preaching against sin. S-I-N. Sin will take you in the lake of fire and brimstone. That's all we don't want to see you end up there. We want to see you in that great choir in the heaven, praising God nonstop, singing hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation. We want to see you in that mass choir. But then the people say, well, I can't talk to them because they did this. No, don't start criticizing them people. Tell them though with the love of Christ. In the book of Isaiah chapter 14. Let's start out verse 12. Talking about Satan. He said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And see, this was his name before he came out of heaven. He was called Lucifer. That was his name in heaven. And then he started getting all these other names after he fell down. I tell you this, 33 other names and wrote that you can find within the book of Ezekiel and Revelation and Daniel. This old Lucifer got a lot of names. And he's deceptive. That's why we have to constantly say the word of God. Don't let him deceive you. He's tricky. He said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? See, that's another name. He's the son of the morning. See, how art thou cut down to the ground with this weaken the nations? He come down to deceive the nations. He's fallen to the ground to weaken the nations with his deceptions. See, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will. I. See, that's why we got to get above. We got to get away from this I. There's too much I. There's no I in team. If we're going to have a team, we got to be together. Gotta be we, us, not I. Too much I did this, I did this, I pray for this, I do this. Man, what about us? I hear apostles struck me saying, why you all are praying? Sometimes I don't say anything, but I'm in the background praying. Well, because he's part of the team. It's not about me, it's not about him, it's not about you, it's about us. Brother to God. He's going to exalt himself above the heaven. He wants to go up. He wants to be above the throne of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north. And I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He said, he am. He wants to be like the Most High. Matter of fact, he wants to think he's the Most High. He's a deceiver, and this is what he's doing. He's coming into the house of the Lord. And he's deceiving leadership. Ezekiel 28. Go to Ezekiel 28. Leaders that are supposed to be standing for the truth, listen to me, people of God. Don't take my word for it. Check it out for yourself. Leaders that are supposed to be standing for truth are falling for a lie. They're falling for lies. Why? Because the enemy promised them that And he would bless them with all this and all that. They got yachts, they got planes. Ain't nothing wrong with having a plane. If your plane is to work for Yahweh, yeah, sure. Ain't nothing wrong. God will give you the plane. But the devil will give you a plane so you can go up in that plane and you can have orgies and you can drink and you can smoke up inside the train and get high from the train, snort your cocaine, and then come down and preach to God's people. Tell them a hard truth. You wouldn't even preach the truth that's going to convict them to want to walk holy. You preach the truth about prosperity, and you can have this and know and have that if you just claim it because God said so. That's what you tell them. You don't tell them that they got to walk the straight and narrow path because the way to eternity is towards a narrow gate. But you can have this. Go on, you have all that. Keep doing all that stuff you're doing. No. You have to change. You have to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. But see what happened? They're preaching a message that causing people to conform. Conform instead of being transformed. They conform to the worldly lifestyle. You have the preachers putting navel rings and eye rings and nose rings and all of this stuff all over their body because they want to take it. You can't draw nobody to Christ. He does the drawing. All we got to do is preach truth. Truth will convict people. Truth will convict people to turn to Christ because they know there's no other way. There's no other way. It's only Jesus and Jesus alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. And that's what we got to preach. But we're preaching this happy message, happy-go-lucky message. Now people running behind me asking. Christian folk running behind her because they think she's going to bless them with $1 million. Running behind her, and she's serving Satan. And then your preacher says, I had a preacher down. That's love, Beyonce. You can say nothing wrong about Beyonce. Can say, no, she don't do that. I said, well, Pastor, you know, Beyonce, she's in idol worship. Oh, no, she's so beautiful. You think she would get in idol worship? She got so much money. After all, you think she got the money? Become a believer. God was telling them that. Ezekiel 28 and 14. Still talking about this old devil. He said, thou art an anointed cherub that covereth and have set thee so. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Talking about Satan. Thus thou wast perfect in thy ways. From the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. You see that? That old slewfoot, he was perfect. God made him perfect. He was just like God. But he wanted to be God. You see, the Bible says that we're going to be like him when he show up. But we will never be him. Do you hear what I'm saying? We will always be children of God. I use the analogy that my son Benjamin, he is my son. I only had one son and three daughters. He's Benjamin Callender. Even if he changed his name to David Callender, he'll never be David Callender. Do you know what I'm saying? Now let's read a bit more of this. He says, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. See, that thing came into his being to make him believe that he could be God. You know, this will happen to a lot of preachers. When God begins to use us, let me put myself in this, when God begins to use us and begins to perform miracles, signs and miracles through us, instead of we give God the glory, not me, not you, we begin to say, I. You remember I talked about I, there's no I in team? We start to say, I lay hands on this person, and the crippled foot comes straight. They got about the wheelchair. I put my hand on this person that couldn't talk, and they were dumb, and all of a sudden they started talking. We don't give God. You know, when I was in Africa, I put me in there. Now, I, when I was in Africa, and we go out to do the crusade in the slums, we have people come to the altar. Well, one lady, in fact, she came to the altar. We know she had tumors right above her vagina, below her navel. And she said, I asked her what she wanted. Well, she said she wanted to be healed. And I told her, I said, do you believe that Jesus can heal you? Because I can't heal nobody. I'm just a messenger. She said, yes, sir, I believe. So I began to pray. And I asked the pastor, I said, come lay your hands with my hand. I tell a woman, put another lady that was the pastor, they said, put your hand on her belly. I put my hand on her belly, and I had the other pastor put his hand on my hand. And we prayed for that woman. And then right there in the service, the tumors just shrink, dissolved right there. And I said, to God be the glory. I said, God did this. I just want you to know that God did. You got to let them know that we are not doing this. We are just messengers. We are just the mailman. We carry the message. That's all we do. We deliver the mail, and the people pick up the mail, and then they receive from God. Hallelujah. But people are getting too feisty, thinking that they're doing some stuff. No, you're just delivering the message, man. Woman of God, you're just delivering the message. That's all you're doing. God is doing the work. Hallelujah. That's why he had to put some of the people out. When he went places to do say, some of these preachers, he had to put them out the house. They're singing their praise. He had to put the preachers out, put them out. They're singing worship songs and stuff. He had to put them out. Because they're going to run off, think they'll do something, they did something. Listen. He said, my God, by thy multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupt thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. She says, see, God put him in a position where he become a deceptive foe. Hear what God said. He said, we'll put him before kings. We got to be able to discern Satan. We have to be able to discern the motives and the actions of Satan. We got to be able to discern these folks that are carrying the satanic spirit. We're not moved by what they have. We're checking out what they're doing. People are running down, man, Pastor so-and-so just get assessed the jet. Don't be moved because they have a jet. They're going to have to leave that jet behind. Oh, so-and-so got two Rolls Royce. That's good. Are they really serving the same Yeshua, Yahweh, that you're serving? Check their life out. Examine. Because God wants you to expose the false prophets so that people will not die and go to hell because of false prophets and false teachers. You're called to declare the truth. You're ambassador of Christ. Yeah, I don't want to talk about no preacher because the Bible says, test not of anointing and do my prophets no harm. Guess what the Bible says? His anointed. Not the devil anointed. Hear what the Bible is saying. Because people get afraid to talk against false prophets because of, they say, the Bible says, test not. The Bible tells you something, you got to hear what the Bible is saying. His anointed. His prophet. So that means that this prophet that not belongs to him and this people that are anointed that don't belong to him. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. This thing is too tough, man. I got to give you part three of this thing. This is too much. I tell you, oh, my God. Thank you. Let me just finish this thing here and let me see what time I got. Yeah. Glory to God. Because of his beauty, he let his beauty and his wisdom. And he has I was dealing with a pastor the other day. Pastor, listen, the pastor, he got three titles. He got to call him apostle, bishop, and pastor, and then his last name. What foolishness? Apostle, bishop, pastor, and last name. As long as you don't call me fool, I'm all right. Don't call me fool. Because I ain't nobody fool. I'm God's servant. That's enough. You don't even have to call me apostle if you don't choose to. I'm God's servant. I'm living for God. And as I tell the people this morning, early as I was praying, I was praying. And I was saying the prayer before God. I'm not perfect. I don't profess to be perfect. But I'm striving for perfection. I am striving for perfection in the Lord. I ain't perfect yet. I've become perfect when he comes. When he comes. Let me just finish two more verses here. I only had one verse here, and the Lord just dropped this on me because I have it highlighted in my Bible. And the Lord just said, do all this. He says, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. This is God speaking. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquity. See, we gotta watch people. You wondering why some sanctuary, some house of worship is not growing. They will not grow. Because iniquity has caused these places to become stagnated. And we will not call for a fast. We will not call let's come to the altar, let's repent before God. Let's cry up before God, let's break whatever is holding this church down, whatever is holding this body of believers back, let's break it in prayer. What's wrong with doing that? I went to a church, they got two members. Something is wrong. When there's so many lost people out there that need to hear from God, let's break this. Let's break the chain that's holding, blocking up these doors, and then let's go in the street. And let's do some evangelizing. Let's reach the people with love and kindness. Don't go there and push your chest up like you got it together. Let the people know where God has brought you from. Share your testimony. He said you're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, and you no longer love your life unto death. Go ahead and share your testimony. I had a preacher say, why you? I'll share your testimony. Excuse me. Because I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. I'm not afraid. I share my testimony. Anybody want to write a book about it? Go ahead, write a book. I'm already overcome. You might have somebody from your book. I'll share my testimony. Hey, he says, this last verse, my God. Father, thank you so much. He says, let me read this verse again. This is so powerful. He said, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. And I will bring from the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Listen to God speaking. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall thou be any more. Don't you want to see that day? Satan's going to be burned. Listen, people of God. God has called us to a place in him that is so holy. But if your eyes are, there's no point looking. Better take them out. God wants to take us to a place that is so holy that if your behind is messed up, you can't sit down. Cut it off. This is a place that we have to get to where we have to repent in order to enter into that place. Understand? None of us can get up and say we got it together. We strive in for perfection. Don't point your finger at nobody. Deacon Fraser says, when you point one finger, you got four fingers pointing back at you. Go to Revelation chapter 12, and we are in on this one today. Then we'll come back, and we'll go into more stuff the next time we come back. Prophetess will come in tomorrow, but next week, if the Lord say the same, we're going to have service on Sunday. This Sunday, we'll have service. The Lord say the same, and we're still in the land of the living. Revelation chapter 12. Yes, we'll have service on Sunday. We're not going anywhere unless the Lord say we got to go. But so far we're here. Revelation chapter 12, we're talking about Satan the master of deceptions. He's the master of deceptions. Now, Revelation chapter 12, and let's start up with verse 9. He said, a great dragon, this is still the devil, the Satan, he said, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And John said, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Listen to what he said. The accuser, Satan, that's one of his names. He's an accuser. In other words, he's accusing you before us, before God. This is why we have to live the life that honors God. Don't allow Satan to deceive us by bringing this nice little young girl before us that her skin is silky. And her wife now, her skin is starting to change because she's getting up in age. She's still your wife. And she's still in love. Your husband still loves you. Don't let that young man come and deceive you with that spirit of Satan that's upon him. Talking about he loves you and you're so fine. You didn't wait till you get up to 70 of some young man to come tell you you're fine. You know you'll be fine. Don't you look in your mirror? Some young girl come tell you, oh, you're so handsome. Get out my face, you devil. I see that every time I look in the mirror. I'm handsome in God. Glory to God. We got to step this thing up. This is real. We are in a real fight, in a real battle. The kingdom of God is at stake. Don't think it's the land of the United States. You are the kingdom. You are the kingdom of God. You are at stake. Your soul is the kingdom. It's at stake. He said the kingdom is within you. It's within us. That's what Satan coming after. Do you know that? The kingdom of God is within us. It's not someplace, some palace or some high mountain. It's within you. It's within us. And Satan coming after. And he's going to try everything that he can to get us go against God's commands, God's instruction. Father, I thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. Lord, I pray that we have said something from your word. Lord, you have touched me again today. You have touched me again today with this precious word that you have given us. You allow us to know how concerned you are about us and how you want us to focus on righteousness and holiness, Lord. Father, I pray that we have sent out this word. Lord, we have sent it out by the Spirit to go and touch the hearts and minds of men and women, boys and girls. Lord, that they will not be deceived by the deceiver. Oh, Father, I ask you, as the word going out, let the sickle of this word cut the hearts and minds of all of us that heard it today. That we will repent from where we are to get to where we need to be, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your mercy and for your grace, for loving us so much to give us a second chance to get it right. In Jesus' name. Come on in, Bishop, and do the prayer of salvation. Then we open the line. Come on in.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Come on in.
God be all the honor.
Thank you,
glory,
Jesus.
And praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
To anyone and everyone who heard this message today, take heed. Listen to the words of the prophet. Coming straight from God. That's not David Callender's words. That's God's words. Listen carefully. And remember the scriptures that he was reading from. I didn't get them all, but I'll contact him and find out the rest of them. Although we're going to listen to it again. Because, you know, after it's off the air for about an hour or so, then we go back and listen to the message again later on, sometime today. Now, for those who have never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, please pay attention to everything that was said today. You see, I've heard exactly what Apostle said somewhere back in the scripture that people say, well, when you're dead, you're done. Don't you believe it. Do not believe it. Another trick of the enemy. When you're dead, you're not done. It's only just begun. What when we're dead from here, well, yeah, we're done from here to another phase, to spiritual life. Let's go into spiritual life with eternal salvation. As I urge you today, if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please do so. I'm urging you, really urging you. Look around, folks. Listen to, there's so many things going on in the world. And just think back, if say you're over 30 years old, think back 30 years ago, you know, you weren't hearing things like you hear now. Some, you know, they didn't have all these mass shootings in schools, churches, supermarkets, clothing stores, barbershops, just anywhere. Somebody decides, well, hey, I'm going to pick up a gun and copy off of what this other idiot did and see if I can get away with it. You know, and most of the time they get caught or killed. Stupid. Because once they cross over the pipe, there is an express train that will get to hell when you see this prayer of salvation. And to all my brothers and sisters, if you become a prodigal daughter, that immediately he done has just, you know, get your life to Jesus and forgive you once again. Okay, all folks who are going to take the salvation for the first time, if you have a Bible, okay, just put you down. If you don't have a Bible, I'm going to repeat it. The book of Romans, at chapter 10, and verses 8 and 9. And the word of God says, but what does it say? Verse 8. It says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Hallelujah. Now, you must believe in verse 9. If you believe that Jesus died for our sins and our iniquities, not his own, Jesus can't sin. He never could be sin. He's perfect. He's God himself. His son is representative, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is given all power by the Father God. He said, if you believe, the word says, if you believe that Jesus died for our sins and our iniquities, and you really believe that, you're now saved. Whatever sins you have committed, they are forgiven you. You have a very clean record, a clean sheet, a clean slate, whichever way you want to put it, like you've never sinned before, because God has thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness. But you must remember now, you have to ask him for forgiveness for whatever you did and repent. And repentance means do not go back to the way you were living, speaking, acting, choose with people, you know, just drop it all. Just read the scriptures and think about God every day. You know, study, like the apostles did earlier. Study to show yourself approved. Hallelujah. You study the word. That's the way you get to eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, that would be in verse 9. Okay, and the scripture once again is the book of Romans. Chapter 10, verses 8 and verses 9. Read it for yourself. This is not David Callender's words. This is not Bishop James's words. This is the word of God Almighty. Okay? And now, somebody's mic is open. Would you please check your mic, please? Thank you. God bless you. Now, if you go to the book of Acts, in chapter 2, in verse 38 through 40, chapter 2, verse 38 through 40. And the first thing that is said was to be baptized. Repent. Repent. As I said, repent, every one of you, and separate yourself. Separate yourself from the perverse. Repent. one of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no except through Jesus Christ. Okay? Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it will be well with you. Now, I'm paraphrasing now. I'm not reading it. You know. It will be well with you, and it will be well with you and your children. You know, just pass on the wealth. Pass on eternal life to your children through Jesus Christ. Teach them. If they don't know, teach them. And what you don't know, you ask somebody who does know. First and foremost, you ask God. God, I don't know what this is that I'm reading here. I want to know and really mean it, you know. And baptism is an outward sign that you have received Jesus Christ. And it's also a way for other people who may be thinking about it to do it. The book of Acts, at chapter 4, verse 12, it clearly states, nor is there any other name under heaven mentioned that men might be saved, mankind might be saved. None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Read it for yourself. And you can also read why in the beginning in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay? Read it for yourself. We didn't write this Bible. It's our basic instructions before leaving earth. And can you remember that Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. Now, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to say congratulations and thank you, brothers and sisters. And don't be mic shy. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit today, because the Holy Spirit will come up on you if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Yes, he will. He might not come up on you immediately, but believe me, he will. I didn't believe people were speaking in tongues. I see they're putting on a show until it hit me. It hit me one day. I could not speak. I was like somebody with a stroke. You know, I was just, I know what I wanted to say, but I couldn't say it. You know, the Holy Spirit tied my tongue, clanged the roof of my mouth, and I babbled out the first time in my life. And my wife knew. She knew, because it happened to her. She knew. And she was thinking, you know, and I know she told me later, well, I bet you believe it now. You know, and I'm telling you, you feel great. And I have been baptized since 1984. And this anything new. I'm sorry, it wasn't 2000. It was like 2004 before Katrina happened this time. It happened in 1984, see? And I was still doing things I wasn't supposed to be doing, drinking, smoking, gambling, doing all this, you know? And God said to me in a roundabout way, stop it. Stop it. Live out right now. You then had three heart attacks. And had two, at least I had two of them. And the third one happened in 2008. But I'm still here to talk about it. My testimony is I was not an alcoholic. I used to drink every day. I was just a straight, plain up drunk. Don't be like I was. Be like I'm trying to instruct you to be. You know, like people say, been there and done that. Didn't give me nothing but a headache and things I didn't want. Heart attacks. You know, I developed asthma, emphysema, all these things. But you know what? When I go to the doctors now, they can't find any evidence of heart attacks. They still got listed under COPD, but I don't have asthma attacks. I don't have any of these things they say. Nothing. And I cough. Oh, yeah, I cough, but I've been coughing for years. But then there's other people who's on the same medication I'm on, and they're not diagnosed with any of those things. They cough, you know. So, you know, always believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Congratulations. brothers and family of God. And if you have any comments for the apostle, do so. He's going to open the line for comments just shortly here. Thank you, apostle. God bless you. And back to you, sir.
Thank you, Bishop. Thank you so much for that prayer of salvation. We just thank God for all of you all that came on the line today. A lot of people came on today. We're just grateful that you came on and heard the word. And I pray that you really soak up the word and digest what God is saying to us. Because it's not David Kalner, it's God speaking to us.
That's right. That's right. And you know, one of my favorite books is Revelation. Well, I used to be afraid to read, you know, because of people's old appeals. Oh, you're going to die if you read Revelation. You're going to die if you don't read it. And if you do read it, you're still going to die, you know.
That's right.
Once we cross over, we're through with this world. Like you always say, Apostle, I'm not worrying about the pay. It's not great, but the retirement is out of this world. Amen?
That's right. That's right.
I love that. It's so true. Come on, brothers and sisters. You've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is the proudest day of your life. Express it. And if you had, say, express it, confess it on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah.
And the enemy can't touch you. He can't use it against you if you express it. Let everybody know. The word says, confess one to another. Right? And that's all of us. You know, you put it out there in the atmosphere, and the devil says, well, I can't hold him. I can't hold her against him because now they've exposed me. You know, and so,
yes.
So
glory.
Yes, sir. Glory to God.
The line is open for anyone who wants to respond. If you can't, if you don't, Bishop is on the move. He's got it going on right now. And if nobody either can respond, we'll have Bishop pray and close us out. He had a great day in the Lord today. As always,
yes,
the Lord has touched my heart with this word. You know, I don't mind weeping before the Lord because I know when he touched me like this, he's drawing me closer. And
hallelujah.
Draw me closer, and I'm happy.
Amen.
I'm happy to be close to him. So the line is open. Glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
The line is open. Give you 2 more minutes. After that, Bishop, go on in.
I'm listening.
And pray and close us out.
All right.
Praise the Lord, and it's a great word, Apostle.
Praise the Lord, Apostle.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That was a great word, I tell you. You know, it's really exposing the devil, just like Bishop said. You know, it's exposing him, you know.
Yeah.
Letting everybody know that the devil is real.
Yeah.
Don't believe that the devil is real.
That's right.
Believe that the devil is just a fairy tale, you know, just someone that's in a red suit with pitchfork and tail, and you know that they read in the comic books or something like that. They don't realize that heaven is a real place and hell is a real place. And so many people, I've been saying this for years and years and years, people don't value their soul. They don't value the word of God. You know, the Bible says don't give that's holy on the dogs.
No,
don't cast your pearls before the swines, because They don't value a pearl. A swine don't value a pearl. You know, you throw a pearl to a swine, and all they're going to do is just plop it under their feet, you know, just turn all sideways, upside down, all of that mud and slop hanging on them. That's just the way that they don't value a pearl, and that's the way some people are. They don't value the Word of God. Word of God is valuable, and the Bible says don't cast your pearls before swines. You know what I'm saying? Because after that, they'll come after you. They'll run to you. Want to tear you to pieces. That's the way some people are. Jesus was valuable when he came. He was God in the flesh, reconciling the world back to himself. God in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. And so Lucifer is real. As you said, he was created perfect. He was in heaven until iniquity was found in him. He was beautiful. The scriptures talks about all of the different stones that he had, and pipes and all in him. And he's a beautiful, beautiful angel, you know. And I tell you, you know, he's real. So, you know, and God is real. And we, the people of God, we have a soul on the inside of us. And, of course, those that are not of God, they got a soul on the inside of them. But one thing about it, at death, the soul is going to have to spend eternity somewhere. When that soul leaves out of that body, that soul is going to spend eternity somewhere, either in heaven or hell. Now, there is a book that's being written, our names, you know, have to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our name's got to be there, because the Bible says that whosoever name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into a lake that burned with brimstone and fire. So there is a lake that burned with brimstone and fire. Now, people look at a lake. They go out and they watch a lake. Some go fishing in a lake, and some ski in a lake, and what have you, boats and everything else. But this lake of fire that the Bible talks about is a lake that burned with brimstone and fire. Now, you think about a big old lake, and you think about it burning with brimstone and fire. And it's also called the second death. And those that are cast into that place is one way in and no way out. And it's sad to believe after one would hit the lake of fire, it's appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. You know, no chances after death. You know, no chances after death. See, that's the sad part about it. You know, because some people is not going to believe till they hit the lake, you know, because they just don't believe that it's real. You know, they laugh about it. And some people take advantage of other people. They kill, they murder, they steal, they rob, you know, and they kill other people just like they're killing insects. Like it's nothing, you know what I'm saying? And they don't believe that all murderers are going to have their part in the lake that burned with brimstone and fire. Don't believe that all liars going to wind up in that lake of fire. Homosexuals and lesbians that don't repent. Witchcraft workers and all of that, you know. Idolaters, you know, putting people, putting things, material things, money and boats and houses and putting others before God and making idols. You know, God said, thou shall have no other gods before me, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Matter of fact, he says, I am the Lord thy God that have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And all of us have been in that house of bondage. We've been bound by something. We've been bound by sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so there were some habitual sins that we committed that we had to be delivered from, we had to be set free from. So thank God that Jesus came and, you know, blessed us to be able to receive the Holy Ghost, the power, the anointing of God, to be delivered from those things that had us bound. Some were bound. I heard Bishop James Washington was just talking about some of the things that had him bound. He said he just was a pure drunk. Just was a drunk. That's just all to it. Well, he wasn't a drunk myself. I was a drunk too. Glory to God. A lot of people are drunk. I was a drunk.
They go to meetings.
You know, and like I said, you know, it's so sad to be a drunk and then have a wife and have a child at the time when I was a drunk. You know, and my wife had to deal with me in that situation. Couldn't live in on the second floor, but couldn't even make it up the stairs half the time.
Oh, my.
Make it to the step, but I couldn't go up the steps. You'd be too drunk to go up the steps. You get halfway up. If you got that fall, you'll fall back down. You'll fall back down the steps, you know, and it's just so sad. Thank God, you know, that we didn't fall and break our necks or something like that. So many times I done fell being drunk.
You know, yeah.
I had a friend of mine, he was a little more than drunk, though. He had a little more than just liquor in him, but he fell in some stickers. And these stickers were so sharp, you know, these bones, they're so sharp, I mean, like razor blades. You fall in that, and they cut you up just like razor blades. They got so many of them on the bush, on the rose bush, whatever you call that, so many of them, you can't even count them. And you fall in that, you get sliced up all kind of ways. Mm. And he fell in that bush and got all sliced up and cut up and bleeding like I don't know what. And because of being drunk and loaded and everything else. And the next day, he told me, you know, he said, you know, I said three people jumped on him. He said three people jumped on him. He said, I beat all of them at the same time. He had no fight with nobody. He had a fight with his own self. And then fell down in the stickers and cut himself all up. Just to show you how the devil just make a fool out of you. You know what I mean? He will make a fool out of you. If you allow yourself to get drunk and get loaded, and you know what I'm saying, and all off your bases. My daddy was a barber, and he used a straight-edge razor. And, you know, I mean, look, he used to sharpen that razor on an old barber strap. And I mean,
side to side,
hitting that razor on that barber strap. Side to side. I mean, sharp. And when he lined you, I'm telling you, he would put a line on you. And he was one of the best barbers on the West Bank. A lot of people from the East Bank in Louisiana over here in New Orleans used to come over to his shop to get a haircut because he was that good of a barber. But he told me one time, he said, one thing you don't want to be a drunk, you don't want to be a knucklehead, you don't want to be a drunk. He said, now, if you happen to go to prison, he said, you went to prison for defending yourself and you had to fight and you had to, and if you kill somebody, he said, I'd come see you because you were defending yourself. He said, but if you're a knucklehead and you're drunk, he said, I'm not going to want to have anything to do with you. He said, because if you're drunk, your enemies could take advantage of you. You be laying on the ground on the side of the curb, drunk with your head straight back, and somebody could pass by you with a razor as sharp as what this razor is. He told me that when I was a young boy. As sharp as what this razor is, and they'll walk right past you and hit your neck with it and keep going. You know, you slice your neck and keep going. You know, see, because, you know, at that time, you be done had a fight earlier that day, and now you done got all drunk, and The same person that then said they're going to get you, now you're just laying up there vulnerable, and they could take your life like that. So, you know, not to be a drunk, but I fool around there and wind up and was drunk and all that other stuff too, got in all kind of accidents and cars and things. But thank God that God delivered me from that, wind up saving my soul, hitting other people, calling, keeping on going. I remember one night, I just thank God. I tell you, I could have got shot down like a dog. On the wrong side of the street in the fast lane. On the wrong side of the street in the fast lane. But I thought I was in the right lane, but I was on the other side of the lane in the fast lane. And I could have went head on. I mean, I just was driving like that a long time like that. And all of a sudden, I got to a particular red light, and the police was in the slow lane, was going the same way with me, but he stopped at the light in the slow lane. And when he stopped at the light, I realized that I was a whole lane over from him, and there was only a double lane. And that's when I realized that I was in the fast lane on the wrong side of the road. And so having a power steering, fool around there and hit that power steering to try to get in the lane and missed that police car about an inch and ran the red light because I was so close to the police. Run, and when I run that red light, they come behind me. And when they come behind me, they were saying, pull over, and I kept going because I ain't had no license. Drunk, no license, couldn't think like I should have been thinking. I had been in several wrecks with the car that I had. The back of the car was smashed like a pinto. One side of the window was busted out. I had a piece of plastic in there flying on that side of the window. The side of the car that I was on, the mirror was bust because it was broken all up. The car was bent. And I'm riding in the car and then passed up the police car and the police come behind me and I'm in a car like that. And I tell you, they had, by the time I got about another, I'd say 8 blocks or so, about another 8 blocks, because he was telling me pull over and I was kept on going. And, you know, but like I said, you know, that's where God has brought me from, and this is a testimony in the Bible. It says we overcome the devil by the blood of the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony and love not our lives unto the dead. And that police had been called several other police calls, so they blocked me off from all kind of ways. I got on, they was from side streets, they was coming in front of me, they was, you know, and I had to stop. I'd have wrecked the police car if I wouldn't have stopped. They was pulling all in front of me all kind of ways. And when they told me get out that car and keep my hands where they could see them, and when I got out that car, even though I was drunk, I still remember what was going on. I still remember what happened. I got out because what happened when them lights start flashing in your eyes, you could be drunk. When them lights, all them different lights flashing like that around you, you start sobering up, I'm telling you.
Yep.
I stepped out that car, and they told me spread the eagle and all, and I mean police lights all around, must have had at least 9 cars. At least 9 calls. Because I guess they thought I had to run over people, run into people with the kind of car I was driving, the way that car was messed up. And I didn't have no license. And they took me to jail that night. But I had an uncle that that was a police. And, you know, you might know him, Bishop. You might know him. But I had an uncle that was a police. His name was Rodney Andrew. He was on the police force. He had become a constable and all of that. Mark Andrew and Stephen Andrew, all of them was policemen. And that was my cousins. And so they brought me down to the, I think it's 4th District, 5th District, something there, in Algiers. So I think it's,
well,
Algiers,
that's 4th District.
4th District, and, yeah. They locked me up right there in the 4th District there on Richmond. No, they didn't lock me up. Because when I got there, one of my cousins that was policeman was in jail. And, not in jail. And was at the police.
Was dead, yeah.
And all they did was let me just lay on a little something, a little cot or something they had there, a little sofa they had in there. And I laid on there till the next day. And they called somebody to come get me. And
when you know somebody.
They knew me,
huh?
But good to know somebody. But if somebody wouldn't have knew me, I'd have been in all kind of trouble. I didn't have no driver's license. I didn't have nothing. And I'm telling you, I was spared that night because God's hand was on me. You know, when we look at where God brought us from, and then I could have got shot down out there because, you know, with the car all wrecked up and messed up like that, and I hadn't stopped, and I had no bid, the policeman that was behind me, you know, the police could have came ready with their guns out and everything. But when I got out that car, I mean, I can't remember if they had guns out or not. All the lights was in my face. I couldn't see nothing but lights. That's all. They might have had guns all on me and thing, you know.
Ain't no might.
They had them out. Yeah, they probably had them out. I couldn't see them, you know, because if lights in your eyes, hurt your eyes, you can't see nothing.
Yeah.
But them lights
if you chase
flashing,
somebody
you know,
that's
flashlights
like
and you're
running
everything.
Something.
And so,
you know,
I came out of that alive. I had a wife. I had a child. I had first got married. That was about 50, almost next month it'll be 51 years. And my son couldn't have been more than about 1 year old at that time. And wasn't long after that that I actually came in, you know, and gave my life to the Lord. But I tell you, I just thank God, you know, that it wasn't no worse for me. You know what I mean? A lot of my friends is not here today, you know, and some of them, sad to say, they lost their life. I had one friend that took his brother, found his brother drugs. And when he found his brother drugs, he did the drugs. And so when he did the drugs, his brother found him in a club across the street from where they lived at. And he walked in that club, and he got in a fight with his brother. He was older than his brother. He was older than the one I used to be with. But the one I used to be with, I could tell you right now, that boy could have been, he could have been a middleweight champion of the world. I mean, that's how good he was with his hands and things. And he beat his brother. His brother was good with his hands, but he beat his brother up. And his brother got so upset because he didn't did whatever he had. And so he went and got a shotgun, and he come back. And evidently he didn't want to shoot his brother, so what he did, he beat him with that shotgun. And that boy left out of that place, beat with that shotgun, and he went across that street. And when he went across the street, a car hit him. A car hit him, and he got up off the ground after the car hit him, still walked all the way across the court in the Fisher Project, and went up three flights of steps, full of blood. Didn't have no key to get in his house. And got through the window. The bathroom window was open. Got through the window, slid in the bathtub, all that blood, and went laid in his bed, and then rolled out the bed. And that's where he was at the next day, on the floor. On the floor, dead. When I got back there to see about him, because I had heard what happened, they had him covered under a sheet. And I almost cried my eyes out, because that was one of my best friends. And that was just one of them. That's just one of them. I could go on and on and on and talk about the friend that I saw that got killed in front of me and what have you. Several of them got killed right in front of me and stuff. And I couldn't do nothing about it. I didn't have no gun. Others had the guns. And I could have got killed too. But they didn't kill me. I walked off. I didn't run. I walked off. I was afraid to run, because if I'd have ran, probably would have knew I was, because it was a big crowd of everybody out there. So if I'd have run, they'd say, okay, he was with the one that we was fighting with. And, you know, they were shooting. I just walk, till I got to the other side of the court. This was another time. Got behind the steps, under the steps, and hid until they left. When I walked back out on the court, I had in the court out there, courtyard. One of my friends was paralyzed, was shot up. The other one had made it to the other side of the court. He was shot up. He died the next day. The other one was paralyzed. And that just didn't happen so many different times with friends. And I could go on and on. And even got shot at myself 5 times. When I hear Apostle Callender talk about the five times he got shot at from close range, that's what happened with me. 5 times from close range, bullet holes in the car. I had just stepped out of the car, and the guy was shooting at me, shooting up the holes in the car, and missed me. And right there, I couldn't have been 5 foot away. I don't think I was quite 5 foot away. He was running past me shooting, running by me shooting. If he'd have stopped and aimed, I don't think I'd be on this phone today. But that's where God brought me from. Another time of 38. To my face, but not right to my face. About 2.5 feet away. Very, very close. But he had a straight arm at me, pointing it straight at me. And I was just leaning down, getting my mama clothes out the dryer. And when I pulled them clothes out the dryer, putting them in the pillowcase, and I went to turn, to put them on top of the washer until I get another pillowcase full of clothes, because I had all sisters. I fill up the pillowcases at the dryer, bring them home, and then they fold them and thing. And when I went to turn and put that pillowcase, that guy was standing up there with that gun right there, about 2.5 feet away from me, pointing right at me. I could see them 38 bullets around that chamber. I could see them bullets around that gun, looking right at him. And he's talking to me, telling me if I catch him out there with my friends, he's telling me I'm dead. That's what he was saying.
Yeah,
and I did nobody but the grace of God brought me out of that. The same guy shot and killed two people. Killed two other people. But I come out of that. And so all I could do is just thank God, give God the glory. A lot of times my daddy warned me, told me about the different times. But yet I would be out there drunk. Don't know how I got home a lot of times. And I know, Bishop, you probably could attest to that. You know, I was driving and don't know how I got home. And I drive all the way home and don't know how I got home, got inside. And the drink that I was drinking be sitting on the, you know, don't be done finished it, because I be done finished so many other ones. Don't be done finished that one. And it's sitting right next to me, right there on the dresser, and wake up and look at it and then drink that. It was so bad, but my wife was right there for me. She went through with me the whole time. She went through with me, and I tell you, and God has given us a ministry, and now we teaching folks. Sometimes we minister to lots of people, you know, and then sometimes we minister to one. Right now we're having a Bible study with one lady, and that lady is so excited about that Bible study that we're having with her. She don't want to miss a Bible study, and she's learning so much about the Bible. So, you know, we'll minister to one, and we'll minister to thousands, but that's just the way we are, you know. But I got to leave for a few minutes. Excuse me just a moment.
Thank you so much, Bishop. The line is open. Line is open. Anyone that want to respond, the line is open. Glory. I've been offline ministering to somebody in Louisiana, a prophetess. Her father went into the hospital a couple of days ago. We've been praying for him. And, you know, they thought he wasn't going to make it out. Well, I just was talking to her. And now they're moving from the hospital where he was in intensive care. And now he's going to another place for therapy. He's having therapy. Now he's learning to walk. So apparently he has some type of stroke that affected his feet. So now he's starting to walk, learning to walk all over again. But he's still on the line, in the land of the living, so that's good. You know, we do so much. That's why I love about Blog Talk family. We could be here ministering, and at the same time we're ministering to somebody in Germany, somebody in Amsterdam, somebody in Brazil, somebody in the Philippine Islands, in the Caribbean, in Canada, in the United States. We are always doing something because we are in the business of reaching people where they are, you know. And we have to minister hard. We have to minister. You know, that word was so hard yesterday and today that it made me weep. It made me weep because God is showing us some stuff. And then this morning when the prophetess, she sent me a picture of Beyonce. And you know the story of the four horsemen. Beyonce is on the red horse. She's on the red horse and dressed in black. As the devil, she's a princess of Satan, and she has on her head, she has a peacock, which is showing power, the boldness, pride, and she has all of this and on her, and you know a lot of people going to see her on a horse, and do on a red horse, and don't understand the onset of this. That pitch on her horse. And I said, you know, I told her, I said, you know, a lot of people are not going to understand. She is glorifying the devil. You know, she's glorifying the devil. And a lot of our people, I had a pastor back there in Virginia, and when I would tell him about Beyonce, oh, no, she not a satanic worshiper. She's a beautiful African-American woman. She's so, her husband, they're both rich, you know. They know. I said, okay. Don't go for it. Let the devil defeat
you. From what I understand, she puts up some kind of sign or something, you know, when she's filming. I've only seen her, you know, when she come on TV, you know. But before she got married, she's with those other girls, and, you know, I didn't see none of that coming out of her, you know. But after she got with Jay-Z, I don't know. It looked like everything changed.
No, a lot of those people, the bishop, they give their soul to the devil because they want to be mega billionaires. You know what I'm saying? And as I said in the message, the devil don't have no problem blessing you. He don't have no problem blessing some more. He got access to money, you know.
Yep.
He got access to the money. And he don't have no problem blessing somebody because they got to pay. I hear a preacher says, the devil don't give nobody something for nothing. Anytime the devil give you something, you got to pay.
Yep, he took something back.
You're not going to give it for nothing.
You're
going to have to pay. And he'll let you go so far. He'll let you go so far. When you think you get him both, devil says, no, no, you got to pay. Now I come to collect. I want to collect. You've been enjoying all of my money. You've been enjoying my big houses, my yachts, my planes. Now, I need your soul. And that's why a lot of them, they commit suicide and all that kind of stuff. And people are saying, well, he was doing so well. Well, what made him commit suicide? No, he had a fear. Devil come to collect. You know, devil come to collect. Well, the line is open for anyone that wants to respond. Was good morning this morning. About 10 people was on the line this morning. A lot of people. So two or three new people. I ain't know them phone numbers. They're from Texas. I think those numbers are from Texas. 832 number. And it had one from New York. Yeah. So, but we glad to come on. The apostle says, we're glad to come on. We're glad to come on and hear the word. Because once they hear the word, they can't get away from it. And once they hear the word, they can't get away from it. We have somebody who's on from Iowa. I think they were from Iowa. Iowa was Iowa's telephone number. But we're glad when they come on and hear the word.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Excuse me,
I have to cut it off a minute.
I don't know if you all want to minister Sunday morning, Apostle Washington. I don't know if Apostle Washington want to minister Sunday morning. If she don't, I'll minister.
Sunday? Okay, I'll ask her. She'll say. More likely she will. More likely she will. All right. Apostle must have got tied up somewhere, you know. So you want to close out?
Yeah, go ahead and close out, Bishop. Go ahead and close out.
All right. If I can get this thing to come up. Come on, phone. Act right. Phone just does what it wants. Just do what it wants to do. All right. Cheetah's on. Okay, I'm ready. Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. May the strength of God sustain us, power of God preserve us, the hands of God protect us. The way of God direct us. May the love of God go with us this day and forevermore. Hallelujah. Good night. Good day.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Just let me know if you all can bring the message. If you all can bring the message on Sunday. If not, I'll bring it. No problem. God bless you and thank you again.
All right. Thank you.
Goodbye.
God bless you. All right.
Goodbye.